The following program is a production of Beach Booster Radio. Beach Corner with Diana Chickie is sponsored by Exchanging Vows Bridal Boutique in Collingwood, Ontario. Visit exchangingvowsbridalboutique.com for all your wedding and formal wear needs.
How you doing? This is Ron James, and you're listening to Beach Booster Radio.
I'm Diana Chickie with Beach Corner on Beach Booster Radio, your backstage pass for all your entertainment. Award-winning comedian Ron James, quoted by the Globe and Mail as man of a million words and a million laughs, has been selling out theaters for over 15 years with his marathon side-splitting kinetically charged performances. Ron is returning to Collingwood on Friday, May the 4th, for an encore presentation of his Ron James Full Throttle show, having sold out at the historic Gaiety Theater on April the 28th. Ron was born in Nova Scotia and over the years have captured many accolades with his comedy TV shows, including the most recent Canadian Screen Award nomination for Best Variety or Entertainment Special for The High Road, a New Year's Eve special which garnered more than 1.5 million viewers on CBC television. Currently, Ron is writing his first book titled All Over the Map, to be published by Random House and set for release for fall 2019. I caught up with Ron via phone, where he shares his comedy and stage shows over the years. You're listening to Beach Corner, brought to you by Exchanging Vows Bridal Boutique in Collingwood on Beach Booster Radio, Wasaga Beach's only truly local radio.
Hi, I'm Andrew McNeil, Director of Economic Development and Tourism of Wasaga Beach, and you're listening to Beach Booster Radio.
Welcome back to Beach Corner on Beach Booster Radio. Ron James' Full Throttle is scheduled for an encore show at the historic Gaiety Theatre in Collingwood on Friday, May the 4th. Joining me via phone is award-winning comedian Ron James. Welcome to Beach Corner, Ron.
Thanks very much. I'm happy to be talking to the folks from Wasaga Beach, that iconic strip of sand in Ontario. Wow, man.
So first of all, congratulations on your Canadian Screen Award nomination for Best Performance in a Variety Special for The High Road.
Thank you very much, but you know who won that, don't you?
You did?
No, you know who won that night? Was P.K. Subban.
Oh, well, there you go.
Collapse. Yeah, P.K. won, the hockey player. So I think his nose is going to be at a joint when I win MVP this year in the NHL with only Bantam B credentials.
You have an incredible tour schedule, having sold out your previous engagement in Collingwood on April the 28th with an encore show scheduled for May the 4th. Now, is this your first time in this region?
In the region?
Yeah, well, Southern Georgia Bay.
I've been in Ontario for 39 years, and I've been touring the province for 20. No, but it's the first time I've played Collingwood.
Excellent.
Yeah, because the theater's just recently renovated, isn't it?
Yes, it is, the historic
Theater. Yeah.
Very nice. How about Wasaga Beach?
I was talking to Jim Cuddy a little while ago. He said it's a sweet room to play.
Oh, nice. And have you been to Wasaga Beach?
I think I was up there once years ago with my family, but I couldn't find a parking spot. First time I was ever at a beach where dudes were washing their cars with the water. They had their cars parked on the, they had their Trans Am parked on the sand, and they were washing them down.
Oh my gosh! Well, it's been a while. You need
to come. Strip of beach, though, isn't that where a lot of people go on those party weekends in their teens to lose their virginity?
Oh my gosh, Ron! There's much more than that than Wasaga Beach. And so, what do you enjoy about these stage shows?
It's the visceral hit, right? It's the connection between you and the people. And there's no commercial breaks. And there's no network interference. There's no legal ramifications of what you're going to say. And not that I, that's my mandate by any stretch. I have a simple mandate that if the ushers aren't wiping the seats down after I'm finished, I haven't done my job. I'm just there for laughs, and I love the connection that I can make with people who've come to laugh their worries away, and I really think that that's the role of the comedian in society today, at least in Canada from my experience. is to carry the knapsack on the life journey for the 2 hours he's on the stage. And my shows have been coming in anywhere from 2 to 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And it's been a great deal of fun. And I can use a big canvas. I can paint a big canvas.
Nice.
And I can throw an awful lot against the, against the canvas. I cover a wide swath of material from politics to generational change to technological change to diet and food and health and midlife and throwback to days gone by and my days playing hockey and all those things. So it's a very eclectic collection of content that I'll put up there because I like to see the plumber and the professor sitting side by side laughing at the same joke as the world gets increasingly fractured and polarized along partisan lines. It's very comforting to see a lot of people laughing at the same thing who come from different walks of life and different points of view.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever think that one day you would be a man of a million words and a million laughs?
Not really. That's a great accolade from the Globe and Mail, and I don't take it lightly. I just wanted to get good at my job. I just wanted to have something I could be good at. I mean, you know, I played hockey growing up, house league. I mean, I got 7 goals in 10 years, and 6 of them were on my own net.
Nice.
So to finally be able to lock and load on something that is a definitive calling, it was great. Because I was an actor for 17 years. I started out with Second City, years and years ago. In 82, we used to drive up to play Blue Mountain in the wintertime and Deerhurst as well. And, I logged an awful lot of miles on Ontario's roads. And then 3 years in Los Angeles, struggling down there. I went down to do a series. It was canceled and came home and shifted the paradigm and moved into solo performance. And it allows you to connect the dots and make sense of the chaos we're all walking through in the language of laughs. So the fact that the Globe and Mail said I'm a man of a million words and a million laughs lets me know that my deference for language and the spoken word, as well as comedic content, found its place. Because when I first started, all the energy and all the words were all jumbled, and I was trying to get too much information out. And it's why my early performances are just for laugh. I can't watch them. They're just I'm just a frenetic ball of energy. But now, over time, like with anything, I become comfortable in my own skin. And if young comedians want to listen to me, which a lot of them don't, but because everyone's got their answers, the first hammer a carpenter picks up, he doesn't build a mansion. You have to put your time in. Stage time, stage time, stage time. There's nothing quite like it. And the 5 years I spent working on my television series were very fundamental, really, in allowing me to settle into a groove in my own skin. And then, of course, writing and producing and performing in 9 one-hour specials for the CBC really did hone my chops and put my girls through university. So there you go.
So performing night after night, how do you keep your shows from becoming routine?
Oh, I'm always mixing up the batting order. Always. Always, always, always. No two shows are alike.
Okay.
I always riff. I mean, I think from the days that I was in Second City, I'm not afraid to improvise when I'm up there on stage. Not that I bring people from the audience up. I don't want to give anybody that impression, but when I go off book, so to speak, from the stuff that I've written, and sometimes I'll start with a different piece and sometimes I'll end with a different piece, and as long as you know where to begin and where to end, you're fine. But with 9 different specials to choose from and 5 years of television where I did stand up every single night, there's plenty that I can use, and I'm always writing new material. And of course, that's the mandate now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world is changing so nanosecond fast. What I said about Donald Trump 6 months ago, aside from him, still being an orange mutant knob, it's still changing all the time. Change your act up, and you have to. And there's a new election coming up in the province, so there's new material on that. The sheen's gone off the pumpkin a bit with Justin in Ottawa. There's controversy in the West with the pipeline. There's all sorts of things that are always in the news and going on that that are simmering in the subtext of the audience, and they want you to address them, whether they know it or not. You can usually tell the necessity of these issues being addressed by the response, provided that it's a good joke. But may I say, Canadians have this sometimes dysfunctional deference for authority that, I mean, we really don't have a rebel predisposition. We don't have a predisposition for the rebel voice in the country because, you know, we weren't sired by revolution. And I know this might sound a little esoteric, but it's true. It's, you know, where, you know, the United States had a major revolution with phrases like, these are the times that try men's souls, give me liberty or give me death. Or in Canada, we always have time for Tim Hortons, right?
Of course.
Except lately, now that Tim Hortons is, what, 50th?
Yes.
Went from number four to 50th?
Yes, they did.
That's what you get for selling it to Americans.
Well, you mentioned that she worked in Los Angeles. How different is the audience from one country to another?
Well, I wasn't a comedian there. I was an actor.
Okay, so...
And, yeah, so I can't say. I couldn't give you an answer for that. Like I said earlier, I went to L.A. to do a television series that was we created at Second City. It was canceled, and then I continued to audition and things that actors do, but I came home, and it wasn't until I came home and wrote my first one-man show up and down in Shakytown did I actualize my comedic stand-up voice.
Okay.
But I can say, though, that having played some casinos, I put 5,000 people in Caesars in Windsor, which, you know, half of that audience were from Michigan. And then I just played Northern New York, Seneca Casino, in January, and, you know, three-quarters of them were from there. And there are certain catchphrases and things that you'll land on that are trigger points for Americans that aren't trigger points for Canadians. Particularly if they're Trump voters. So you gotta be prepared to hear the quiet then or to have a good place to land afterwards. But you can't constantly pander to your audience. I mean, you have to speak your truth and you have to speak it as you see it, but not lose the room. So that's the challenge of playing different regions. I mean, the West is very sensitive about certain issues. And, you know, you make fun of trucks out west sometimes. All those guys with six-wheel Dodge Dualies will go quiet.
So you have performed so many different characters during your career. Is there one in particular that you are most fond of?
Characters?
Yeah.
You mean characters that I've played on TV?
That's right.
That's a good question. I've never been asked that one before. Well, I guess, you know what, the character that I'm the most fond of, and you can see it on Facebook now, I just posted it the other day, I played John Franklin in a sketch. We used to do Franklin sketches, historic parodies of the last days of Franklin in the Arctic. And the makeup, everyone was meticulous. We managed to turn Fort York into a 19th century British ship, and I got to work with the great actors Patrick McKenna and Peter Callahan, and we had meticulous costumes and brilliant makeup, and I think that's probably one of the most favorite things I did, was being able to play at the top of our intelligence with references to the Franklin expedition and the final days when they devolved into cannibalism.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Played with a British accent. So it's on Facebook now, and it's on YouTube if you want to check it out.
So are you pleased?
And I played a right-wing radio host who was just a tool. I forget what his name was. He was like Tucker Carlson. He had a bow tie and suspenders, and he was just an opinionated right-wing boob. And he was a great deal of fun to play as well. What was his character? Boy, oh boy. Wolford something? Anyway, I forget. But yeah, those two guys were fun.
So are you pleased with the success you have garnered so far?
Oh, yes. My goodness. Yeah. Man, it'd be a fool not to be content with where it is. I mean, I'm disappointed CBC canceled my New Year specials. We did 1.5 million viewers the last 3 years.
Wow.
And so I know, but, you know, it's like, I mean, you used to work there, and even the people who worked there for a long time don't understand it. It's like Winston Churchill said of Russia, okay, an enigma wrapped in a mystery. And you can't figure it out. See, even though you've been out of the CBC for a long time, you're still a little scared to say anything, aren't you?
I'm not going to say my time is done.
See, I know. So anyway, I was a little disappointed. And when my series was on, they bounced me around the dial nonstop. For one reason or another, I don't know why. But I still poured a solid foundation with my audience on the road. And this is where I'm so fortunate, right? The foundation for the work will always be live. And I know it's great for radio and it's great for newspapers to be famous on TV, okay? You don't get mm-hmm. famous in films in Canada when you're a comedian. That only happens in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no trajectory from the stage to film here as a comedian. It doesn't exist. You can't find a film where a comedian has made the transition from stage to here. So it only stands to reason that naturally in the States, everyone always sees stand-up as a stepping stone to a greater notoriety. Right? Mm-hmm. Where here, for me, what has been my greatest satisfaction has been traveling the country and performing live. I mean, 2,000 people laughing in a theater in Edmonton in a snowstorm sound exactly the same as 2,000 people laughing in Los Angeles when it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to survive that carnivore's arena that is the American stand-up scene. Even though I played the clubs here for 5 years, it was a very supportive environment. I mean, they were good guys, good women. Just people just putting their shoulder to the mule and plowing. It's hard work doing what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And not to enjoy it and not to gain sustenance and satisfaction from the moment on the stage is a fool's game, because you're missing 90% of the fun. That's what matters to me, is hearing and seeing grunting, wheezing, snorting audience of people who paid $50 to laugh their worries away. It's just a wonderful affirmation of the life force.
Well, joining me via phone is award-winning comedian Ron James. You're listening to Beach Corner on Beach Booster Radio.
Is your new or existing business looking for recognition in Mississauga Beach? Beach Booster Group is your one-stop shop for all things local, all things promotional. Beach Booster will succeed in creating a complete local promotional package that can include high-profile outdoor, print, and radio promotion of your business and services. Beach Booster's community events offer additional opportunity for visible participation of your company in the Mississauga Beach area. Beach Booster Promotions also specializes in all types of promotional products and apparel to help you create your local and professional profile. Contact us at info@beachbooster.com or call 705-241-9762. We are local. We are Mississauga Beach. We are Beach Booster.
Welcome back to Beach Corner on Beach Booster Radio with my guest via phone, Ron James. So, Ron, what has been the greatest benefit to making a living as a comedian?
Making a living as a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest benefit right there. In Canada, for 20 years, building a career 1 kilometer at a time, 1 gig at a time, stringing my trap line across the big wide open from Corner Brook to Courtney Comox. And, I started myself. I moved from the clubs. There was no infrastructure for what we're doing. And I say we because I work with Terry McRae of Chantero Productions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been booking myself in theaters because I had to feed my family. And I didn't want somebody else to be responsible for putting my daughters through university or building a house or feeding my family. And so I started booking myself in theaters, which was very difficult because there was no comedy network at the time, and people were trepidatious about stand-ups, thinking we were, profane and ignorant, and because some acts had gone through and were exactly that. And so I was able to sneak in the back door, so to speak, to these soft-seat theaters with my one-man show up and down in Shakytown. And from there, I parlayed that into a stand-up act. And then, out of the blue, Terry McRae's Antero Productions contacted me way back in '99 when I was writing for This Hour's 22 Minutes, saying I wanted to put half a dozen dates together. And all I had on TV at the time was an episode of Comics on CBC and my Shaky Town on the Comedy Network, which was only getting about 60,000 viewers, hardly anything. Mm-hmm. And holy jumpins, we sold out the Center Point Theater in Ottawa with 1,000 people and added a second date.
Wow.
And that told me that I had something. And so that's been a great satisfaction, that in a country that had no infrastructure for stand-up live in soft seaters, Terry McRae and I blazed a trail, and we struck a template that everybody has borrowed. And, you know, I'm not one to shoot my mouth off about, oh, I did this and I did that, but just for laughs, tours the country and have been touring the country for 18 years. And, I mean, they don't even bring Canadians when they tour anymore. And they saw what we were doing, and they were out the next year with their huge machine of federally and provincially subsidized, monopoly. And so the greatest satisfaction for me is that we did this on our own with no corporate sponsorship, and just by content and word of mouth. And I recall playing Brantford years ago. It was my first tour of Ontario, and it's a beautiful 1,000-seat vaudeville house down there. And I had about, I remember I came off stage, and I think there was 137 people in a 1,000-seat theater. And I was very demoralized. And
oh, my goodness.
Barry looked at me, and he said, hey, listen, don't be hard on yourself. They sounded like they were 300. So, and then we've sold it out six times since.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's been this victory in baby steps. And that everyone always said, oh, it takes so long in Canada, it takes so long. Yeah, it does take so long. But, you know, when you get super famous in America, which everybody seems to think is so important, you have farther to fall, too. I love building my career here, and I love seeing this country. It's like Rick Mercer said in his final episode last night. He said, do yourself a favor before you die and go visit the tree line. And truer words were never spoken because I've been everywhere. As Hank Snow used to sing, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. And it's true. I have, and I love it.
So looking back at your career after saying all this, is there something you wished you could have changed?
Well, I guess yeah, there is. When I was doing my television series, I always felt that I had to get up to the next level, you know, that I had to, you know, break into the States or have these people see me or those people see me, because that would make my life better. And I really wish I hadn't bothered with those bogus grails. And I really wish that I had just been happier at times, at those times, when I had the full audiences. You know, I left Terry McRae of Shantaro Productions for a couple of years there, and I went with a Big Shot outfit in Toronto. And I wish I hadn't have made that choice. And thankfully, I'm back with Terry and his family in their company. Mm-hmm. And that was a stupid career mistake, thinking that some Big Shot in Toronto is going to do something more for me than we did together. And that's a mistake that I'm owning my side of the road on. And I couldn't be happier this last year and a half being back in the good graces of Shantaro Productions and doing what we do best, which is bringing the funny to the far points of frontier.
Mm-hmm. So you are currently writing your first book, All Over the Map. It's set for release for fall 2019.
Yeah.
What made you decide to write a book, and what
Random
will
House
it entail?
Approached me. Yeah, Random House approached me, and it always had been something that had been simmering in the background with me anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough challenge to, you know, I'm a pretty active guy, so to lock yourself in the chair for 5 to 8 hours a day and just write is, that's a challenge for me because I like moving. But it will give me an opportunity to celebrate and honor the people I've met and the places I've been in my travels, both in the past in Nova Scotia where I was raised, and in my adventures around Canada and the world.
You also do charity work for the Global Poverty Project?
Oh my gosh, I just did that once. I mean, that's the water project, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did that a couple of years ago. Yeah, I did stuff for those guys.
Okay.
And I'll do charity benefits for whoever and whenever people ask.
Mm-hmm.
I did one in Winnipeg. My buddy out there, Taz Norris, he's got a benefit every couple of years. That's right. He calls himself the Bipolar Buddha, and that's for mood disorders. I've done benefits for them for mental health.
Okay.
I'm doing a benefit for. I've done benefits for AIDS hospitals in South Africa for children. For my alma mater back home. But I'm not alone in that. Musicians, actors, mm-hmm. Comedians are always lending their time for charity. So, I'll do everything and anything if my calendar is free.
Okay.
And the charity is something that, that speaks to me.
So where can we find more information on Ron?
Oh, well, where do you find more information on Ron? I guess you can become a friend on Facebook. I always post stuff there, and you can buy the book when it comes out in 2019. Mm-hmm. And you can come to the show in Collingwood. There's
absolutely
a lot of information on me there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Ron, for being my guest, and wishing you continued success with your career, as we look forward to seeing you on May the 4th at the historic Gaiety Theatre in Collingwood with your encore show, Ron James, Full Throttle.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Beach.
You're talking to you. Nice questions.
Thank you. You're listening to Beach Corner on Beach Booster Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this break.
You are listening to Beach Booster Radio, Wasaga Beach's truly local radio, broadcasting directly from the world's longest freshwater beach.
Well, this is a wrap for me. I would like to thank Ron James for being my guest and wishing him continued success with his comedy career. A special thanks to Terry McRae from Shantaro Productions, Inc. for making this interview possible. For tickets for Ron James' Full Throttle Encore Show, scheduled for Friday, May the 4th at the historic Gaiety Theatre in Collingwood, call the box office at 1-888-353-3203. Or visit GaietyTheatre.com/upcoming events. And for the latest information on Ron James, visit Shantaro.com or ronjames.ca. With Beach Corner on Beach Booster Radio, I'm Dinah Chicky. Beach Corner is broadcast every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. and also available on podcast anytime from our new Beach Booster Radio podcast page. Simply click the podcast button from our homepage to enjoy unique and local programming. Beach Corner is also a regular feature in Beach Booster Publication and coming soon to Wasaga Beach TV. If you would like to be featured on Beach Corner, please contact Diana at beachbooster.com. I welcome your visit to my Facebook and Twitter pages. Bye-bye, everyone.
The preceding program is a production of Beach Booster Radio, written, recorded, and produced in Wasaga Beach, Ontario. We thank you for listening to Beach Booster Radio, Wasaga Beach's only locally owned and operated radio station. We are local. We are Wasaga Beach. We are Beach Booster.
Hi, this is Brian Smith, Mayor of the Town of Wasaga Beach, and you're listening to Beach Booster Radio.